All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. October the 22nd, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Side. Hope it's great wherever you are at. What are we, 9 days away from Halloween? It doesn't feel like it, man. It is free. It is beautiful outside. I just ran this morning, and of course, it is the fall, so I put on long pants, and I put on a zip-up and some gloves and a hat and went outside, and it wasn't about 15 feet before I had to start coming out of all this stuff because it is fantastic. No rain. I guess that's just the way it's going to be. We'll get some rain, I guess, when we get it, but no rain, so it's just beautiful. Sunny. I don't know what the temperature is, but just fantastic. Went out paddling on Sunday, epic. Just such a great group of folks on that morning. And the boat was strong. 1 or 2 mile an hour winds. It's like glass in the canal. We did go out into the sort of the ocean. We were out in the ocean. It was amazing. And did 9 miles. A lot of fun. Just super blessed to be part of that. Trying to turn up my exercise game a little bit. I'm feeling good. I've adjusted how I eat. Went on vacation, learned all about food and ingredients, and listened to a couple podcasts. Now I'm an expert, and now I've changed my ways. And so, but I have actually, just kidding, right? I have been trying to eat better, snack better. I was on sort of a peanut butter kick for a while. I've kicked the peanut butter. Now I'm just eating raw pecans and walnuts and stuff like that, and trying to, I've listened to so many podcasts about food now, I'm just like, God, what can you even eat, right? And walnuts and pecans, they're pretty original, so I've been trying to do that. But yeah, just really enjoying my life in sobriety, right? And wasn't sure I was going to do the podcast today. I have been having a little trouble doing the podcast. You know, I got the committee going on. And it's not even that. I'm struggling a little bit with things to talk about. But you know what? That's just how it goes. And you know, if there's always going to be a voice in my head that tells me to stop, and I'm just going to try to press on. And I do enjoy the podcast. It is an opportunity for me to talk about things and share about things that, you know, are bothering me. And listen, man, as I go through this adventure of sobriety and serenity, right, I keep learning stuff, and I like to share it. I didn't come up with it. I like to talk about how it's affecting me in my life. And, I can tell you, you know, one thing in recovery, man, it's just you never know what to expect, because it just seems like that it's, you know, one day you got it figured out, and then the next day, shit, something new comes around the corner, right?
Break that we are on the brink of.
Christmas. I'm going to pause that before that freaking awesome solo. What a great band, REO Speedwagon. Roll with the changes anyway. Yeah, man, it just keeps on changing, keeps on getting better. I shouldn't say it keeps getting better. It just keeps getting a little more manageable. I think I understand how it works a little more. My latest thing, and I talked about the other day, is just walking with spirits. It's just real, real, real for me. This idea that, you know, every thought, every influence, every persona, every personality, every bad behavior, right? It's all a spirit. And I'll never forget my friend Libby used to say, I'm a spiritual being having a human experience that involves alcohol. And the longer I'm sober, the more I work this program, the more I understand that idea, because I am a spiritual being. I just somehow I'm lucky enough to have a physical body to drive around, right? But it is a spiritual being. And I think that if I could see on the other side, right, it would be a lot of spirits, right? A lot of spirits. And, you know, every time I talk about this to my friends, I was talking to my buddy Frank, and I'm like, you know, inconvenience, right, creates arrogance. And these are spirits, and these are influences, right? It's that cool kid, right? It's the bad kid that hung out. They're real like that, right? They're for a long time, it's just been a word, but the reality is that these words are real, and they're real in the spiritual world. And I know that sounds hokey, but until I could start thinking about it like that, I didn't quite get it, right? I didn't quite get it. And it's just a huge deal to me. You know, I went to the meeting last night and, we read the chapter to the wives. Not my favorite chapter. It's just such a difference in time, but it's a great reminder of what, and I, you know, it's funny because it has the asterisk where it says that this, you know, this chapter could be applied to the husbands, right, or anybody that is sort of drinking like that. But, you know, back in those times, it was usually the men, and the women sat by and took care of their drunken men, and, you know, it was really sad. And, you know, back then, for whatever reason, right, most women didn't work, and you got thrown to the side, where women got thrown to the side. It wasn't a good time. I don't know what that was about, but you know, I guess this, you know, what ended up happening is a lot of women stuck by their men because they did not have a lot of other choices, and you know, it's unfortunate. And back in those days, man, there was no AA, so there was no recovery. It was just fucking hell. And if you were a woman married to a drunk, you never knew what was coming down the line. And I was the guy. In the book, it talks to the wives, but there's 1, 2, 3, 4 types of drunks. I didn't really remember what they were. I was never violent, and I was a sneaky drunk. So, and like I shared in the meeting, you know, when I came into this program, I didn't have anything. I didn't have a wife. I was never married. I'd had several girlfriends, but I was not married. I did not have any children. I had a pathetic existence. AA allowed me to actually become a person that was worth even considering having a relationship with, right? I didn't know how to communicate. All of my relationships were based around drugs and alcohol. And I was just completely physically and spiritually lost as a human being. And, you know, when I came into the program, they immediately said, you know, don't do these things. And I was like, what do you mean, man? This is the freaking first opportunity I've had to, like, actually get a haircut, right? Clean up, put on some decent clothes, and have a decent job. You know, I think if we do some of those basic things, there will be people that will find us interesting. And I remember getting into that first relationship. And at the time, you know, you think, God, this is so smart. I am so lucky. I knew it. I knew I had this in me. But I was tortured because I was completely unaware of how to have a relationship. And it was a nightmare. And I was so concerned and not good enough and paranoid, and it was just awful, right? And the girl that started dating me, I guess I cleaned up well, but I had no interests, right? And she started to catch on to that. I didn't have any money. She had a lot of money, and I just felt bad. I didn't feel good enough, and I felt like she would leave me at any second. I don't know why she was with me. It was just terrible. And I went through all the things that they say, the reasons why you shouldn't get into a relationship in the beginning. And yeah, but I would learn, right? You know, but when I did get sober and finally found, and I said this last night, you know, I take hostages. My first wife, I took her hostage, right? Because that first relationship I had been in with the first person that I was, you know, I just thought was the greatest, and she did not think I was because I wasn't. And she broke up with me, right? And I met my first wife the night she broke up with me, and I took her hostage because I was so insecure and so heartbroken, right? And so I just had to feel better. So I grabbed on to someone, and I held on to her until I felt better, right? And however many months that was. And then by the time I got over it, we'd had built a relationship, and I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll just hang in this relationship, even though, you know, there were things about their relationship I didn't like, just as like I'm sure she didn't like things about our relationship as well, right? I think we were two slightly misfits. And, you know, but when I started drinking, man, she didn't put up with that shit. See, my problem is that I was a liar, right? I was a lying drunk. And so when I first initially started to drink, I hid it. I hid it, and I could hide it for some reason. I don't know why. She had a job. I got off at 3. She got off at 5. She didn't get home till 6. It left me with a few hours. Somehow I was able to have a couple drinks of vodka and then somehow pull it all together. And then she never knew. I don't know. But I just was able to sort of sneak that by for a while. And then eventually I decided I would try, because eventually the spirits, right, would talk me into asking her if I could drink. And I know it sounds weird, but it was exactly like that, right? This voice is like, look how good you've done, right? And it was a thought. It was a feeling. It was just a thing. It wasn't actually words, right? I'm not nuts. But this side of me is like, look how good you've done. Maybe you can try drinking again, right? It's just through all of the evidence of why that would work, right? You used to drink before. You didn't used to always drink every day. You didn't drink and drive. All this bullshit. And I bought it, right? And then, you know, I sold it to her and she bought it. And it failed within a week, right? That's just a couple story. And it was terrible. And I just, you know, and then I remember drinking and then I'd be like, I'm dry, you know, I'm sorry, right? And it's always because I got caught, right? If I didn't get caught, I would lie, right? Until I got caught. And then I'd be like, all right, yeah, I've been struggling, right? I had a slip. Bullshit. I just drank and got caught that night. And so finally at the end, man, I came home one day and I have shared this, but I came home and I was drunk and then her mother and her were pissed and we had just had a baby and I woke up to an empty house and that was, you know, but in this book, in the wives, you know, they stick by their man, right? And because they just don't have options. And luckily my wife at the time, you know, she went back to her parents and stayed with her folks. And, you know, luckily today we all get along. We're fine, right? I see my ex-mother-in-law. In fact, we get along really well. Unfortunately, everybody's getting old now, but yeah, it's just, you know, it's a crazy story. There was a, you know, there's a guy that I'm friends with and, it is, you know, I think this is why I'm having trouble doing this podcast because I sort of want to talk about this guy and, but I don't know how to talk about him or not him, but just the situation. And, I will say he's probably, there's a guy in the program that I'm right now that is, I don't think I've ever met a person more toxic and more, full of spirits. And, he is, to me, he is possessed by a devil, right? And I know I say that, but I feel like this guy is absolutely possessed and, it's really crazy because he is so possessed. He is so caught up in this stuff that he's unapproachable, right? I follow him on Facebook. He's a nice guy. You know, I mean, he's a nice, I see if he can somehow maneuver through this program and get through these steps somehow, right? Somehow. I know there's a freaking sweetheart of a man, a really great guy. He's funny. He's a good guy. But he is just possessed by a fucking devil, right? And, you know, he was at the meeting last night, and he was just, he's just so fucking pissed. And he, like, his energy right now is fucking with me right now. I'm sitting here. I don't know where he's at. He's somewhere around here. He's down in town, up in G-Town. I don't know where he's at, but his energy is so fucked up right now. It's fucking with me. I can't even really talk about this. But the point of it is he's so consumed as a victim of what his ex-wife has done to him. And this is his position. That he is, fuck all this shit. Like, he did not, you know, because I shared last night, man, I had to, you know, at some point when, you know, we get into these steps, you know, I had to become accountable, right? I had to become accountable, figure out the role I played, right? I talk about this all the time. Figure out the role I played, take responsibility, right? If my feet were there, I played a role. And whether, and this is, I think, what hangs up, gets a lot of people hung up, right? If my feet were there, I played a role. Where in his mind is that his wife is so bad that he played no role. It's all her. And I don't know. Listen, I've met some crazy people. But I tell you, my feet had to walk into that circle to be around the person before I would be influenced by the person. So I always play it. It's just, and I think this is why, because of course last night I get home and but I shared that last night in the meeting. Listen, I have to take accountability. And he wrote on Facebook this whole real generalized statement, like, I don't get this taking responsibility bullshit when the toxicity that pours out of this guy is sad. He's possessed. And, you know, what he doesn't understand is that, you know, there is more to. I feel like this guy is in the place of, I'm getting sober because I have to. And I know that's exactly why, because I have watched his journey. He came in, living with his parents, still drinking, parents fucking barely holding it together, coming in, getting sober, going back out, you know, and every time he go back out, it was always about his ex-wife or how fucking bad he has got it. And classic case, man. Classic case of this shit. And then finally his fucking dad popped him, punched him in the mouth, threw his ass out, ended up in rehab, and finally, right, has put some time together. I think he's gotten a year. I know he's got a year. But all of this is and what's worst about it, he really reminds me of me, right? I wasn't that toxic. It wasn't everybody else's fault. But I didn't give a fuck about what any suggestions, you know, get a girlfriend, change my job, go to college. I did everything I was told not to do in the first year, and absolutely thought that I deserved it, right? And so I guess he reminds me of myself many years ago, but he's so fucking toxic, right? And, you know, so I think he's in the phase of, I am getting sober, or I'm doing this because I have to, or else, right? All fear-based shit, and it's all selfish. Who gets afraid? Self, right? It's just a classic case of self-centeredness to the core. And but what he doesn't understand is, like, you know, as a person like myself, over time, we go through this period of, you know, look at me, I'm fucking awesome, bow to me, right? Because I'm sober, and the rest of you idiots, right? And then we start to mellow. Right, we start to get mellow. We work the steps. Right, we start to learn about some of this stuff. We start to surrender. Right, we start to have accountability. We start to, you know, do all the humble based stuff. Right, because, you know, and as it talks about in the third step, when we step through that door, right, stepping through that door is leaving that, regardless of if you're right or wrong, fucking mentality behind, and going to the other side and being like, you know what, man. And that's sort of how I've been for the last, you know, 6 or 7 years, just really coming to this place where it doesn't really matter. You know, I want to clean it up. What's important? What is the most, like, if I was to ask my buddy, what's the most important thing, is that he would probably say that his wife knows that she's a fucking bitch, right? And that she fucked him over and yada, 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 and all women. And that's this whole thing, all women, you know, these poor women to the wives. And I'm like, Jesus, my God, this guy. And of course, he doesn't say that at a meeting. No. Well, he did say it at a meeting. And then I think he sounds like a complete fool after he says it. And so then he goes home and puts it on Facebook and writes. And I think he was sort of attacking me. I don't know. He's attacked me before, but I don't care. He it's all with love, I know. He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. He's possessed. I'm dealing with the devil right now. And I know it will work out, but he's just hasn't stepped through that door where I, as a person today, is like, all I want is just to be free of whatever that is he has, right? I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be resentful. I don't want to be pointing my finger. I don't want to be lacking accountability. I don't want to have any of that, right? Anything that I do today, any situation that comes up for me today, I'm like, why? What did I do? If I did something wrong, I'm super sorry. If I didn't do something wrong, I'm sorry that you're upset. What can we do together to figure it out? Let's just get past this. It's no need for this negativity, right? Peace, love, free of fear. That's my goal today. And whatever it takes. So if it's about being accountable, it's about, listen, I'll fucking take the blame. I don't give a shit. Listen, I don't know who did it, but I'll take the blame. I'm sorry. This is my fault. Let's get past it. Right? I don't know how, but maybe it is my fault. And if it is, I am sorry, right? Let's just get past this. And because I don't want to live in that place today. I cherish peace, love, free of fear. I cherish that. I protect it. But he doesn't. He doesn't have any idea because he's not worked the steps. He's not worked the steps, and he cannot let go of the past. And I look at him, and I can imagine what a fucking miserable drunk that dude was. Oh, and to act like he's done nothing, right? And that's his sort of his position. Listen, maybe I said a couple things. Yeah, I'm sure. And it, you know, whether it's him or 100 people, it's always the same thing. It's this, you know, this real transition from being in this program, coming to this program because you fucking have to, right? And that's where he is at. He has to be here. You know, he didn't have to be here, but when he didn't have to be here, his behavior and his drinking were out of control, living with his parents. Finally, his dad punched him in his fucking mouth, threw his ass out of the house, ended up in a rehab, and now you got to be here. And when you got to be here or else, then it's based in fear and self, and you're still wallowing in the shit. And, you know, peace, love, and free of fear, is not on the horizon anytime soon, unfortunately. But it's crazy because I, you know, personally, I would like to say, hey, bro, listen, dude, chill, right? Chill out. And I have tried to do this before. He is my friend. I do love this guy, and I care a lot about him. But sometimes, sometimes, and before I've gone up and said, man, you got to chill, bro. You just got to chill. It doesn't matter. You got to let this shit go. You know, he feels like he should have visitation. And I go, maybe somebody upstairs just didn't think you're ready. Right? You know, like to me, when something doesn't happen, I think maybe I'm just not ready. But he thinks that fucking bitch. Right? And so he's just so sick. And I've gone to him. I said, dude, you got to chill. And he goes into, why should I chill? You know what that chill? It's just so, the anger and rage is so deep. And the unfortunate part is I think he's going to have to, a lady came up to me and she goes, you should talk to your buddy. He is, he's going to go back out. And I said, I think he's out, right? I don't think he's drinking, but he is everything and anything that a person that would be drinking is, minus the drinking. Right? Just toxic, self-centered, disgusting, rage. It's bad, right? Came in, got a bunch of all tatted up now, and in a matter of 2 months, he's all tatted, right? He's now become the person that he has painted in his mind, and he's going to find out, unfortunately, that all you can get tattoos and you can, you know, get in shape, but we have got to find God. And we've got to find a spiritual connection. And we've got to find some accountability and some humility. Because you can't continue like that. And it's really sad. And unfortunately, he reminds me of one of those guys that's just going to have to fucking go down a little farther. Right? He's going to have to. He's the guy that takes the elevator all the way down, steps off, and starts fucking digging. Because you can't talk to him. And, you know, you can't suggest things to him because he knows it all. He has not been beaten down far enough. And that sucks. I feel bad. Hopefully that doesn't have to happen, but I feel like it's going to. Because I think he's going to justify. He's going to be like, eventually, you know, I should be drinking, and I don't need this fucking program. He was telling me last night he wants to buy a house. He's just, you know, he's doing all the things that that we're told not to do. And I just, you know, sometimes, man, the people like that come into our lives and we can't help them. We try. So I guess the point of all that is listening, you know. In the end, right, we need to find peace and relax and chill, right? Peace and chill out. And we don't need to be consumed by the past or the future, right? We just need to manage, you know, the present. And this is like even, you know, whether it's my buddy that's out of his mind, right, or my father, right? Went and visited my dad yesterday. I've been practicing this with him because, you know, it's always about, you know, when I came in, it's like, Dad, let's just deal with today. Let's just stay in the moment. There ain't no reason we need to talk about 2 weeks ago. And there ain't no reason why we need to talk about 2 weeks from now. Let's just stay in the day. We can manage it. And my dad is mentally struggling, right? And so the more he doesn't do that, the more he struggles. And so it's you know, so it can be used in all of our aspects of our life, but we have to manage, you know, the adventure that our mind tends to go on and just stay in the moment, and we can handle that. But I don't know. I feel bad. I wish my buddy would just chill the fuck out. I wish he would chill out. He's so freaking toxic, man. I can't understand it. All right, let me read the Daily Reflection. So, you know, listen, if you got something like that, just pray about it. Let it go. Find the part we play in it. Become accountable. Make our amends and move on. Just like all the steps talk about, right? Learn about why we did it. Ego, pride, whatever it was. Understand it. They're all spirits. Name them. all right. Let's see. Daily Reflections. True Tolerance. October 22nd. Finally, we begin to see that all people, including ourselves, are to some extent emotionally ill as well as frequently wrong. And then we approach true tolerance and see what real love for our fellows actually means. That's right. True tolerance. Tolerate. 12 steps, 12 traditions. The thought occurred to me that all people are emotionally ill to some extent. How could we not be? Who among us is spiritually perfect? Who among us is physically perfect? How could any of us be emotionally perfect? Therefore, what else are we to do but bear with one another and treat each other as we would be treated in similar circumstances? This is what love really is. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing about that is, like, I was spiritually unaware of what I was, right? I had, you know, and it's a two-part issue, right? Because, you know, it depends on how much self is behind the motivation to finding the spirituality, right? I've talked about, you know, early on in recovery that seeking to find God, just seeking, 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 and self was behind it, right? Self wanted something from God, and it's, you know, it's that same old thing. I can't find God. Stop seeking, right? God will find you. And then, you know, over time, we start to find some humility. And then I start realizing, you know, I've said just really in the last couple of years, this new sort of relationship I have with God, which is nothing like the relationship I thought I wanted or was seeking. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, I used to say, how can God speak through me, right? That's so weird. But now God does speak through me when I try to be an example, right? If I, you know, and I talk to, you know, I'm working with another friend of mine, and we're going through the same sort of the spirit. He's got a lot of time, right? He's got many years, but he's spiritually sick. You know, he's just like me, right? We came in because we had to, or else, and he's done the work, right? He's gone through the motions, but he's never really made the commitment completely. And today, with many years, he's, you know, has his life in a pickle too. And so, you know, and I told him, you need to start paying attention to these voices, right? And, you know, inconvenience creates arrogance, right? That is a fucking big deal. I don't think people recognize that. You know, all the problems I have with spirituality are really based around inconvenience, you know, because inconvenience creates arrogance. Arrogance is a different set of rules and different set of behaviors that we typically don't do. And when we do that, you know, that's all fueled by self. And when self's in the picture, God's not there. They don't go together, right? They are oil and vinegar. Oil and water, whatever, right? They just don't mix. You know, you either have one or the other, and if one is there, the other isn't. But the things that keeps the God out of my life are the character defects, right? The spiritual shortcomings. And when they show up, but I didn't really get that, and I'm starting to recognize it now, and I'm starting to recognize that they're all spirits, right? And so that's the stuff that I'm telling my buddy, but I don't know. That's a good reading. I barely got this podcast done. I wasn't sure if I could even do it, but I did it. It's all good. I hope everyone has a great day, and I will catch you tomorrow. Bye-bye.